Unconventional Life, the show where twice a week I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creatives, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. Each of these individuals are at the top of their game in terms of revenue and reach in their respective industry, living life in the driver's seat beyond what is traditional or predictable. On this show, you will learn how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck.
It means living a life of passion and purpose.
And what would it look like if you create it from the ground up?
Everything that's shown up in my business has been a place for me to grow or expand as a human being.
I pretty much get paid to be me.
Very frequently, the exact things you think are against you might be the things that are actually the reason you can make it.
I'm your host, Jewel Schroeder.
If you would like to win this week's prize giveaway from our show guests featuring free access to their online courses, books, and other impactful tools to help you on the path to living an unconventional life, simply subscribe to the podcast on iTunes now and go to unconventionallifeshow.com to let us know you did. You can also get a second entry by leaving us an iTunes review.
Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Jewel Schroeder, tuning in from Boulder, Colorado. We've got a very special guest joining us from Santa Barbara, California, originally from Australia. We've got Joel Brown in the house. Joel, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
G'day, mate. It's great to be here. Thank you, Jules. I am. I'm ready. I'm always ready. I'm born ready.
Awesome. So Joel is the founder of addictedtosuccess.com, which he started about 5 years ago, and he has built it to be the number one motivation site in the world with over 80 plus million views. And he's also launched the Addicted to Success podcast, which has had about 1.3 million plays and downloads, featuring people like Tony Robbins, Deepak Chopra, Gary Vee, Lewis Howes, and just a slew of other amazing guests. So we met originally through the Rise Up Project, which is the movie and documentary that's launching to redefine success with a ton of amazing people. So super excited to have Joel on the show. Joel, go ahead and fill in any gaps I might have left out and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Oh, any gaps? You know what? You pretty much hit the nail on the head. My purpose in life is, I believe I'm the lighthouse of hope, right? For many that are struggling in their life. And what I love to do is, if there's one result that I can have my students or my audience walk away with, it's to have the courage to follow their dreams. Because I know that when I built the courage up to follow my dreams and left my 9-to-5, my whole world changed. It transformed. You know, I have the freedom. I get to travel the world. I get to, you know, rub shoulders with incredible influencers and leaders. And so I have this in my life now because I was courageous enough to make a change. And so that's really like where I stand. Just with everything that I do, that's what I go in with. That's my intention, is to really help others to have the courage to follow their dreams.
Yeah, I love it. Well, Joel, with that being said, you know, one of our themes on this show is kind of peeling back the curtain, if you will, and looking at like, how did you get started? And so what was your path like? Was it always going in this kind of, you know, unconventional, non-traditional way? Or what was the turning point in which you kind of, you know, made this decision to, you know, leave your 9-to-5 or to really go in this direction?
Yeah, you know, what's interesting, I delivered a speech last week and I shared with the audience that I had these little signs that popped up over the years, and I call them like the whispers of wisdom. And those whispers of wisdom are really those little whispers that are coming from my purpose, right? Everyone's brought into this earth with a gift. We're designed in a way where it's like, you know, one person's meant to be an artist, one person is meant to be a real estate tycoon and own land and to supply housing for people. And some other people are meant to be teachers, right? And so I feel like we are all designed in a certain way and brought into this world for a purpose. And a lot of us really get in our own way all the time. And so we look at the universe as a self-organizing universe, and so many people are just getting in their own way. And I did it for years. I was chasing these other things. I was chasing the money. I was chasing other people's success, which I call unicorns. So I tell people, stop chasing freaking unicorns, right? Which is like other people's definition of success. So I did that for years. This was me growing up. through high school and out of high school. I dropped out of year 11, so I'm like a high school dropout, and I went and I just experimented with life. I was like a mad freaking scientist, just going in the lab of life and trying all these different things. And there was this like little common occurrence where like someone would recommend a book, or I left the music industry. I thought it was my passion, and it's not. It wasn't my passion. And I left the music industry and I was like feeling down and out and uncertain. I was like, I don't know if I made the best decision. I remember jumping on a plane and I was sitting on the tarmac in the middle of Chicago. It was like pouring down with rain and the windscreen wiper wouldn't work on the plane. So they were delaying the takeoff. And so what that meant was it meant that I missed my connecting flight from San Francisco to Sydney, Australia. So when I landed in San Francisco, they put me in this motel. I remember sitting in this motel just feeling like, wow, did I make a huge mistake to leave the industry? Like everyone was telling me I was crazy. I was around all these amazing people, but I just didn't feel right. I wanted to start my own business. And so I was sitting there on the bed at like 2 o'clock in the morning and a Tony Robbins infomercial pops up on TV. It's talking about like never settling and following your passion and like, yeah, getting clarity in your life, and I was like, that guy's really cool. So I started reading his books and I was, reading T. Harv Eker books. And, I remember when I was younger, my mom gave me Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I had like Michael Jordan's autobiography when I was like growing up, and I like learned about mindset and everything. So it was these like little like nudges, these little taps on the shoulder to tell me like, hey, Joel, over here, like this is really what you're meant to do. Mm-hmm. And so I went and worked in a sales job, and I had the opportunity because I got promoted so many times within the space of like 6 months, I went all in. I was reading Grant Cardone books to learn how to like do sales and how to connect and all that and how to network. And I had the opportunity to actually train with Jordan Belfort, who's the Wolf of Wall Street. He's not Leonardo DiCaprio, but the actual original guy, right? So I had the opportunity to train with him. And it was the first time I was really intimidated and challenged on the spot to share what my vision is for my future. And I had never really thought about my vision. And so he really like pushed me to go all in and write out like what my strengths are, what I'm passionate about, what solution I'm bringing to the world. And that was the moment I realized, I was like, I love self-development. I'm good at computers and marketing. I was good at that in the music industry. And the solution for the world would be like, hey, if I can learn this cool stuff, I can share it with others. And so it was like a little formula that was in play. And it was really, that's where I kind of found my purpose in that intersect there between those three things. And that's where my life just absolutely changed. And I started listening to that, the little nudges that came along, the little whispers of wisdom. And ever since, my life has just progressed in leaps and bounds because I've been paying attention to what is right and what I'm here to do. And I'm really on a mission now. And you can't stop someone that's on a mission. That's it. They're like a rocket ship. Like once they're taking off, that's it.
Yeah.
So yeah, my passion is really to help people to, like I said, to be courageous enough to follow their dreams, but also like really to pinpoint what their passion and their purpose is.
Yeah.
Because when you find, people that are living in their purpose, they just have this unlimited amount of energy around them. It's like that intrinsic motivation. It's not external motivation. It's not the cars and the bling bling and the material things that motivates them anymore. It's like the drive and the wanting to contribute and sharing their gifts. I hope that answers your question. It's kind of long-winded, but that just kind of sums up like how my experience has been and just how now I'm living in freedom because I'm following my purpose. And the key really is to find your purpose and to follow it and to be unreasonable and to just never stop, right? Just be on a relentless pursuit to bring your gifts to the world in such a beautiful way.
Yeah, awesome. I love it. And I love the distinction whispers of wisdom. It's such an interesting way to kind of sum it up. And I want to dive into that in just a moment. But for those that are listening, so you dropped out of high school, never went to college. Is that correct?
Never went to college.
So dropped out of high school, never went to college, and then went through your own version of experimentation, self-development, trying and experimenting these passions, following these whispers of wisdom. So just to pause there for a moment, for those that are listening, one, that's, incredibly inspiring, but two, tell us about the whispers of wisdom. If someone that's listening is in that particular situation and they're on this self-experimentation path, maybe you've gone to college and you've decided you didn't want to go, for those that are listening, how do they begin to develop that skill? What do they listen for? And how do they begin to crack that formula, that intersection of passion and purpose, and that bit you were speaking to?
Yeah. No, that's such a great question. No one's ever asked me this. They've never kind of got me to peel back that next layer. So thank you, Jules. I appreciate you. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I study a lot on the brain. You know, I love neuroscience. I interview neuroscientists like Jody Spencer and John Assaraf and all these amazing people. And it's interesting, like I've really found that the unconscious mind is incredibly powerful. Like they say it's almost like a million times more powerful than the conscious. And so the unconscious mind is the body, and the unconscious mind is the habit mind, right? So there's a lot going on there really that's driving us from the unconscious part of our brain. So what happens is unconsciously we're picking up on things all the time, but consciously we might not be tuned into that because we may not be doing things like meditating and, you know, consciously working on ourselves and wanting to personally develop and to understand how the body works and the mind works. And so for me, once I got to that point where I started to understand a bit about the unconscious and the conscious and how you can manifest and how you can lay out your intentions and set your goals and get clear, that's when I realized like, whoa, all this stuff around me is happening and my unconscious is already picking up on it. And I'm getting those feelings and getting that intuition, right? It's the unconscious sending the signal to the body. It's like looping like that. And it's like, I'm getting these little kind of feelings, and the feelings were the intuition. So understanding like how the brain works and the body works. I mean, you don't have to go too in depth. Like I can explain it just like this, and you can probably start to get a clear picture on how these things are popping up. And you hear people say a lot, this is crazy. Like a lot of people refer to the universe and they're like, oh my God, the universe, like with a lot of things that happen in their life. And so, yeah, that's cool. And sometimes things do happen and it's like, wow, like we just can't fathom like how that can actually happen and how it's put together. There are incredible things in this world, in this universe that happens. But I think most of the time when people say, oh, the universe, they're referring to their unconscious mind. Because your unconscious is literally picking up on like things. It's picking up on things about a quarter of a second faster than your conscious. It's like, you know, when something comes flying at you and all of a sudden you just move out in time, it's like your unconscious already saw that a quarter of a second ago and you moved out just in time. It told your conscious, right? And so just imagine all these things going on around you. It's like just tuning more into that. The more I meditate, the more I understand about the brain and the body and listen to myself and kind of follow my feelings and understand that my body doesn't just hold organs and bones and is covered in skin, that there's actually an emotional body inside here too, and that like I need to let things out sometimes. I can't boil it up. Once you understand all that, you can start clearing the way for your true calling to come through.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of if I could break that down, that's really like how I see it. And it's been my experience. It might not be everybody's experience, but I really hope that if you're getting those little nudges, like really just start to dial in a little bit more. And another way as well is to really work on your beliefs. Because when you work on your beliefs and you empower yourself with empowering beliefs, not limiting beliefs, don't even focus on the limiting beliefs because they're going to pop up quite often. It's the crappy programming that we've had since a young age. But the empowering beliefs keep coming up. That there allows you to see things that you didn't before, because what happens is we have a lot of negative noise that goes on in our mind, right? Naturally, as human beings, our brain is very skeptical. It's trying to protect us all the time. It's not trusting because it doesn't want to go through that pain that we put ourselves through. So it's like kind of like bringing up that negativity. It's easy for it to go to that place. It like defaults there. So if you can kind of turn the noise down on the negativity and turn noise up on the empowering beliefs and then empowering self-talk, that's really when you allow yourself to come from a place of like optimism and to be optimistic about things that are around you, and you give things more of a go.
Yeah, totally. I love it. So I'm curious, you know, staying with this thread, talking about the Wolf of Wall Street, which was, you know, this mentor guy that you had, he took you through and before training you, you know, getting into the whole sales thing, you know, for those that have seen the movie, what is maybe an exercise that sticks out to you that he did with you around this topic that for those listening, you could share with them to kind of help point them in this direction of cultivating this practice?
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, you know what? I share this with my Mind Strong Alliance group, and it's the first activity that I get them to do, and I speak about it at events as well around the world. It's called the 10-year vision game plan. And really what it is it's to really cast out your 10-year vision. And with your 10-year vision, you start off with the 10th year. So it's like, I will be, or I am, is an even better way to put it. It's like, I am living in, let's say, Malibu with a beautiful wife and three kids, or a beautiful husband and three kids, you know? You just like, you go into detail. Like, I would have released by then three New York Times bestselling books and spoken on stages with Tony Robbins and blah, 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 and done a 32 country tour around the world. And, you know, so like really go in. And the thing is, I always say, like, come from the frame of mind where you're limitless, like really go big with it. So that way you can really start opening your mind to what are the possibilities. If you applied yourself, where could you really go with this life? That's the 10th year. And then I go, so now once you've written your 10th year in as much detail as you can, it can be a long exercise, but it's incredible. Once you've written the 10th year in as much detail as you have, write down what you would have had to have done in the 9th year to get to your 10th. And so they do that. And then I'm like, after they finish that, the 8th year to get to the 9th, and the 7th to get to 6th, 7th to get to 8th, and so on. Right. So all the way down to this current day. And so it's like day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, how are you going to get there? And in as much detail. And I actually get them to go and revisit their 10-year vision game plan quite often. They'll go in, they'll add things to it, they'll like learn more about the world, and then they'll go and spice it up and twist it and tweak it. And it's incredibly powerful. So I casted my 10-year vision 5 years ago, and I started Addicted to Success in that room. It was like I birthed that idea and I went with it, which is crazy. And this is nuts. My 10-year vision that I casted then, literally I'm living it now in my 5th year. Like, I'm about to live it. So like one of them was like talking on stage with Tony Robbins, blah, blah, blah. And I'm doing that in February 2017 at Bacara Resort in Santa Barbara, right? With Jack Canfield and Ariana Huffington. So it's just insane. There's like movies and front cover of magazine and a TV show that we're in the talks of. Like, I've been offered publishing deals for books. So like all these things are in play. And the reason why it's in play is because I'm so clear on what direction I'm headed in. I cleared the fog. Right? When you're not clear on what it is, you have fog in your life. It's like it's hard to see in front of you until you clear that fog. And so the 10-year vision game plan allows you to clear that fog so that you can move in the direction you need to go to be where you need to be.
Yeah, it's amazing. Such gold. And for those listening, Joel's referencing his Mind Strong Alliance Mastermind. We'll share more details about that later, which is where this exercise lives in. But I mean, that clearing of the fog, I think getting clear on the goals is number one, like the most important step that you can take. So I love that you're highlighting that. Yeah. And so let's talk about what it's like, the experience of you now living in your 10-year vision at year 5, doing all these amazing things, like you're saying, you know. How, if we back up 5 years ago, did you know that that was going to be possible? Did you like have any, like, was it like, I'm going to do this 10-year thing and, you know, hope for the best? Like, let's go back 5 years. What was it like for you then creating this plan, and what steps have you taken, and how has this kind of unfolded to make what you've built, you know, the number one motivation site in the world on top of all these other amazing things actualizing?
Yeah. Beautiful question. Yeah. You know, if you told me I'd be where I am now back then, especially 5 years in and I've nearly already reached my 10-year, I would have called BS. I'd be like, no way. No, I wouldn't have believed it, right? I would have like gone, yeah, okay, there's some possibilities there, but not to this level. Like, it's just insane now, just the opportunities that have come about. But I really believe that when you're serving, when you're truly serving others, great things come to you. Like, all the opportunities that have come to me have come to me because I haven't made it about me. I've made it about everybody else. I've made it about serving others, and genuinely serving others. Because you get people out there, they say, oh, I contribute and I do this and I do that. They do it because they want significance. They do it because they want to be known for being the good guy. But for me, it's like, no, I genuinely want people to live the dream and experience what I've experienced. I have an abundance mindset. I believe that everybody can get what they want. There's enough to go around in this world. Just there's so many amazing opportunities that have come up. And the reason being is because, you know, 5 years ago, I started Addicted to Success. There's a formula behind it. People love feeling inspired. And then from that, I've been able to actually leverage from it and reach out to incredible people like your Tony Robbins, like Deepak Chopra, like T. Harv Eker and Grant Cardone and Gary Vaynerchuk, Simon Sinek. I mean, you know, the list goes on. I've been able to reach out to them because I already have a platform. But when I reach out to them, I come from the angle of like, hey, I want to help you get your message out. You know, a lot of people don't do that. They really come and say, hey, I want you on my podcast. My whole thing is no new exposure for Tony Robbins or new exposure for Tim Ferriss, or, you know, and then, hey, Tim, I loved chapter 3 in your book where you talked about dot, 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 you know, that had a massive impact on my life, blah, 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 blah. Right. And hey, I'm Joel Brown. You know, I run Addicted to Success, one of the top motivation and success websites with over 82 million views worldwide. We're featured dot, 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 right? Whoever we've featured before. I wasn't able to have a long list of incredible people in the beginning. It was just like, I came more from the place of like, I really want to help you. I know your book's coming out soon. I know your event's coming out. You know, you've got a movie coming out, right? So I came from a place of really wanting to help them, because everybody's favorite radio station is WIIFM, right? What's in it for me? So it's really about like approaching people with like a win-win, but also kind of making their win a bigger win than yours, knowing that in the long run, it's going to actually pay off.
Yeah.
And I also really want my audience to get incredible advice. So I'm like also very selective, very picky with who I bring on board, because there are some people that are out there, to be honest, that are like big names, but I really don't feel like they bring the heat compared to some people that are up and coming that are just having incredible, inspiring story. So I'm always like keeping my ear to the street to see like what is hot right now and who is really creative and original. Mm-hmm. And that are really bringing something different to the world. And so, you know, that's really how it's all developed, from the website to the podcast to YouTube channels to then people wanting more of Joel, and they want to hear my story and how I got started. Then I get, you know, interviewed on podcasts myself and on magazines, and then I get asked to speak around the world. So yeah, I mean, it's just like a snowball, you know. And then there's like the book deal, because somebody saw me write an article on entrepreneur.com, and then I got asked to be on Rise Up the Movie because one guy that was scouting for it, I heard an interview from me 3 years ago. I wasn't really inspired by my story. And so that all comes down to, you never know who you're inspiring, right? You never know who's watching you, and you just got to keep showing up.
Yeah, I love it. So I'm curious about the like origin of the idea for Addicted to Success. And a lot of our listeners, you know, we like to bring on these guests that have these amazing success stories, but also take it through, like, how did you come up with the idea? What were the first steps that you took? And like, how do we look at the business model, you know, with, you know, behind the curtains, so that those that are listening, maybe wanting to start their own version from nothing, have some actionable way to do so. So tell me about the idea for Addicted to Success. Where did it come from? And what were some of the steps that you took in the beginning that you feel were crucial to the momentum that you've built?
Yes. I love this question. This is really important, because I think a lot of people want to play in this space, in the online space, and they need to know this information. So how I came up with the name, well, I discovered my top three values. Every human being has a set of values that they prioritize most over every other value. And so mine is self-development, business, and contribution. They like mean a lot to me. And so I revolved the whole business around that. But I knew for sure that self-development was number one. So I was like, you know, I'm all about success and self-development. And everyone's definition of success is different, which is great, because the website can cater to so many people in different ways, like through startup advice or motivation or how to live your life or how to contribute and so on, right? So my whole thing was like, yeah, you know, like I'm the type of guy where I go all in. I take action. I just like, I deep dive. So I was thinking, how can you kind of explain like deep diving into self-development or deep diving into success? And what came about after like literally only like two or three ideas was Addicted to Success, like Addicted to Success, but it was Addicted to Success. And that wasn't available. So I had to register as addicted2success.com, which actually worked out pretty well, because people liked that better. They was like, oh, it's cool. It sounds fresh. It's like kind of catchy. And I ended up reaching out to somebody at the time that owned that domain name. And they were charging like £3,000, which is quite a lot of money. It's like $5,000 for the domain. And I said, nah, it's all good. So I just kept Addicted the number two success. And then about a year later, after I started making some good money from publishing ads on my site, I came back to him and asked, you know, are you still open to selling? And I ended up buying it off him for like about $6,000. So I own that now. So it's Addicted to Success and Addicted to Success. Only because like I tell people Addicted to Success and they go to the wrong address and say the website doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So that was an investment that I needed to make early on.
Totally. So that's cool. So you started with your values. You got clear that, you know, self-development was at the top of your list. Did you have any experience like starting a blog or like launching a business before? Like, how did you get your first steps into that?
Yeah, I mean, I was exposed to social media, like building community a little bit when I was working in the music industry, when I used to manage songwriters and producers. And I was really helping them to build their brand. And with that, I kind of brought some of that knowledge on. But I'm the type of guy where I like to push all the buttons. I like to watch videos. I like to really go all in and like read website articles to understand something so that I can learn the new skill. So that's what I did. You know, I set time aside each day for weeks to really learn how to use WordPress and how to understand hosting itself. Like, should I be on like a dedicated host or a VPS host? And like, you know, because I had these tech problems at the start as my site was growing, kept crashing out. So I had to learn all those things. There were these like little hurdles along the way, but I didn't care about the hurdles because I knew that I was living in my purpose and I was energized by that. So I just kept going. So initially, within the first year and a bit, I wasn't putting any ads on my site. I understood that it was important to build a community around the website and not to drive people away. And then about 14 months after, I started implementing ads. And it's crazy, like within about a year and a half, I was hitting around about 500,000 to 700,000 views a month. And the reason being is because I put share bars on my site and I had focused on building a community that people were like really invested in wanting to spread the good word of inspiration to others. And I really encouraged them. I asked them at the end of the articles, if this article vibes with you, please share this article with your friends, fans, and followers. And they were doing that. Also, we were one of the first to really create picture quotes. A lot of people weren't really making them. There was like some weird picture quotes that were like, I don't know, like a meadow and like really bad font that looked like it was like from word art, right?
Yeah.
As quotes. And I was like, nah, this is crazy. Cause I really appreciate good design and art. So I was like, nah, we need to make this aesthetically pleasing. So I went all in and just started doing a lot of articles that were like picture quote articles that were more original. And it took off. You know, we really kind of pioneered in that space. Now everybody does it all over Instagram and everywhere, but we got in early. So I think the key here is to really like look at like what's on the curve, what can you take advantage of right now that's up and coming, and just go all in and crush it. Like don't sit back and wait too long, especially in the online space, because so many people are catching on to things very quickly.
Yeah.
And so a space can dry up very quickly and you want to be there from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, you look at people like, you know, DJ Khaled and, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk and that, like they got in on Snapchat early. Right, they were early adopters, and so when people are kind of sitting back going, shouldn't I get on this? You need to get on it. So like, what's that next thing? Just think, what is that next thing that you can really take advantage of? And with Addicted to Success, you know, obviously I was publishing ads, and I wrote an ebook, which is crazy. I was thinking of writing an ebook for a while because a lot of people would ask me how to create a successful website. And so I was thinking of writing a book for a while. You know, it's like thinking but not actually doing, because I didn't really know if it was that important. And I was living in India at the time, and a coconut tree fell on our power line and wiped out the Wi-Fi and the internet for like a whole week. It took them like a whole week to fix the line. Yeah, it's crazy, right? So I was there with like no internet connection. I was like spazzing out because I was trying to run an online business. I had to like catch a little tuk-tuk for like miles and miles down the road every time to try and work on the internet that was like dropping out in like every cafe. So I ended up putting that time aside and writing an ebook. And so that ebook, it's like $19.95, and it shows people how to create a successful website. It's kind of the basics, the fundamentals. And I sold over 15,000 copies from that date. And that was about 3 years ago.
That's
so there's that. And then there's like affiliate deals. If I believe in somebody's product and I partner with them, we do some interviews and I share their products with my audience. If I've tried it myself and I've had results, is that podcast. Sponsorships sometimes, not all the time. Sponsorships, email blasts. And then obviously speaking and coaching and everything else that comes out of that from my own personal brand.
Yeah.
So
totally.
That's the game.
Yeah. Amazing advice. Thanks for sharing that for those that are listening. So last question before we jump into our rapid fire round. So often, you know, I think people think that you get to a certain level of success and that you just end up staying stagnant at the success and that, you know, you're basically, you've reached this end goal point of what success looks like. Like there's a finish line. And I believe that, you know, you constantly have to be working on yourself throughout the process, and to the degree in which you're willing to work on your success, yourself is a degree in which you're willing to able to have create success like out in the world.
Yeah.
And so share a little bit about, you know, coming back to this three value thing, which is where this idea came from for your business. How do you stay committed to honoring those values, even after hitting success with the podcast, the site, et cetera, and now moving into another domain with the mastermind, which we'll talk about in a little bit, the Mind Strong Alliance? How do you stay consistent with the practice of working on your own values while, you know, letting the success build and grow?
Yeah. No, that's great. That's a great question to ask. So it comes down to this. My vision feeds my faith and my faith feeds my vision. It's like a loop. It just works like that, right? And so when I say that, I mean that I revisit my 10-year vision often. And when I complete a year, I push the 10-year vision out another year. My 10-year vision is never ending. It's going to get, I look at it as a 10-year like projection. I cast it that far, but then like it just keeps getting pushed out. Just because you have a 10-year vision, it doesn't mean that after 10 years, that's it. Then you just live some different kind of life. Like, no, like I'm actually committed to master this arena. Like that, I'm like, I'm wifing this thing. Like I'm like in it to win it, right? So like I think a lot of people dabble. I'm in it for mastery. And when you know that you're in it for mastering it, you become the student. You sit in the student chair, which my good friend Preston Smiles says. He says he's always in the student chair. Which is so great. And you know, I've lived that. It's just, I'm constantly prioritizing learning and growing. Like one of my highest needs, human needs, is growth. It's like I can't be stagnant. It just doesn't exist in my world. It's like I have to keep growing. Like if I'm not embarrassed by the person that I was 3 months ago, I'm doing something wrong. Like I look back at some of my old interviews, like 2 years ago, it was me sitting in a chair with Gary Vaynerchuk. And I'm like, who is that dude? What the hell? What's up with that guy? Like, where is he coming from? Because I know that I've grown so much. And so it's always good to kind of like look back, not for too long, but look back and measure and be like, yeah, you know, I have really been working on myself lately. And every day, just like hacking. It's like going to the tree and it's one hit with that axe. Like finally that tree is going to fall over and you've completed that, right? And so for me, it's always just like working on mastering and growing just the 1% shift. Just imagine where your world would be or where your life would be at the end of a year and then 2 years and 5 years and 10 years. Like Tony Robbins says, a lot of people underestimate what they can do in a decade. They overestimate what they can do in a year, but they underestimate what they can do in a decade. And so knowing that as well, it's like, well, yeah, why wouldn't I cast a 10-year vision and commit to this, commit to mastering? And so when you know your purpose, when you know your values and you're operating a business and a career, because don't forget, your business and your career takes up a lot of your life. So you might as well be doing something that lights you up, that fascinates you, that you have a lot of energy in, because that's living. People forget to live. They're trying to do everything else and follow everybody else's dream. Screw that. That chair is not for you. That's somebody else's chair to sit in, not yours. So, I mean, I hope that answers your question. It's the vision that feeds my faith. And so that's why it's so important and why I just stress on everybody, like set your 10-year vision and just keep pushing it out a year. Commit to your vision.
Yeah, totally. Awesome stuff. All right, well, let's move into our rapid fire round. Last part of the show, series of 5 random questions to take us home. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, question number 1. What is one thing that you have had to give up along your journey to get where you are today?
Ooh, I've had to give up circles of comfortable friendships. So I've had friends where they want to live comfortably, and so the conversations that I have with them aren't on the level that I want to be tuning into anymore because I've grown, like outgrown the level that they're playing in. And I used to not be okay with that, and I used to feel bad about that, but now I'm fine with it. It's like everyone's on their own journey. So that's what I had to give up. I had to give up friendships or like fully committed friendships. I'm still friends with them, but yeah, we don't have the same friendship anymore because I had to keep moving.
Yeah, I love it. All right, next question. What is one practice that you do daily that you feel contributes to your success?
20 minutes of, actually my 20-20-20. 20 minutes of exercise in the morning, 20 minutes of self-development, and 20 minutes of motivation. It's my ritual.
Awesome. All right, next question. If there is one concept or one thing that you wish the world could get, like you would put your life for the world getting this thing, what would it be?
You are enough. You are good enough. You are good enough for everything in your life. You're good enough to follow your dreams. You're good enough to put yourself on the line and take a risk. You're good enough to experience what other people have been able to experience. They did it. Why can't you?
Yeah. Awesome. I love it. Next question. So you're 29 years old. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. So what would you say, knowing now, what would you say to your 20-year-old self if you could give your 20-year-old self a piece of advice that you now know?
Great advice. Great advice would be to know that love is stronger than fear, stronger than hate, and that you can't love fully and give fully until you learn to love yourself and accept yourself and trust who you are and what you have to bring to the world. That's what I would say. And so I never got that. I before when I was 20, I didn't get the whole self-love thing, and I was looking for it from other people, and I didn't trust myself. I didn't believe that I was enough. So now I do.
Yeah.
And I can get up on stage without any structure and just share, knowing that the message is going to come out. And it's just crazy to watch other people be in that same space of learning to trust themselves and love who they are and to own themselves, not renting their space, but owning their space.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
Amazing. Awesome. Last question. What does living an unconventional life mean to you?
Living an unconventional life really means being unreasonable, breaking the rules, because you know the rules are shit house, and that for us to move forward as a human race and to innovate and to create new things, we have to shatter old paradigms. I'm huge on this. I live and breathe this. Like, my life has absolutely changed, and I've just seen so many people that break the rules that are now just moving mountains. So living an unconventional life is so damn necessary for each and every individual.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Amazing. So Joel Brown, everyone, our Aussie guest from Santa Barbara. So Joel, you know, I know you do a lot of coaching, speaking, you've launched this mastermind, the Mind Strong Alliance. Where can our listeners find out more about your mastermind, and also how can they find out about Addicted to Success, listen to the podcast? How do they stay in touch?
Thanks, Jules. Yeah, so head over to mindstrongalliance.com. We have a $1 founding member special right now, so jump on that. And then in 2 weeks, it'll kick into $37 a month, which is literally like the price of maybe a book and a half or two books. You don't need to read those books. I can break it all down for you, and you can ask me questions, and I bring in experts that are playing at such a high level. And the biggest thing for me is, like I said, you know, bringing a result of being courageous enough to follow your dreams. Like, I want you to have results. And so that's the biggest thing in this group, is that's what I focus on. And I care that everyone that comes through has an experience where they can have their own experience of breakthroughs and transformations. It's so important to me. So yeah, that's the Mind Strong Alliance. You can find me on Instagram at I am Joel Brown, on Snapchat, I am Joel Brown, Twitter, I am Joel Brown, and facebook.com/JoelBrownOZ for Oz. So yeah, you can find me over there. And then obviously, you know, addictedtosuccess.com, IamJoelBrown.com, you know, all the websites. You can check me out on there too.
Amazing. Well, beautiful. Joel, thanks so much for joining in. Unconventional Life Family, another great episode. We will talk to you all next time.
Thank you, Jules. You knocked it out of the park. You asked really great questions, and I appreciate you sharing me with your audience. Thank you. Appreciate that.
If you would like to win this week's prize giveaway from our show guests, featuring free access to their online courses, books, and other impactful tools to help you on the path to living an unconventional life, simply subscribe to the podcast on iTunes now and go to unconventionallifeshow.com to let us know you did. You can also get a second entry by leaving us an iTunes review.